This is the Eagle Nebula. This is a star-forming region. These are huge clouds of dust and gas. Buried inside is where the dust and gas collapse to make new stars. This particular region is about 7,000 light years away. It's in our galaxy, but not nearby. This particular arm is about one light year tall. So these are not little clouds. These are big clouds. And this, you can actually see, if you look right there, you see a star. It's just, there's this huge, very bright star up here that's evaporating the cloud. And what happens is, as the cloud evaporates, the young stars are exposed. Now let me show you what the same region looks like in infrared light. Here's the region in optical, and here is exactly the same region looking in infrared, in heat. You can see inside the stellar nurseries. You can see through the dust. You can see the young stars being born. And where stars are being born is also where planets are being born. This is an infrared image taken by one of the Keck telescopes in Hawaii recently of a star with a disk of material around it. Because as the star forms, as I said, not all the material ends up inside of the star. Some of it's left over in a disk. This particular disk is about twice the diameter of our solar system. If you look carefully, there's a very bright star in the center, but in fact you can see the disk is a little dimmer here and a little dimmer there, and in fact the main light inside in the center of the disk is the star. There is a hole in this disk. It's a donut, not a solid disk. The hole in the donut is about the diameter of our solar system. And of course the easiest place you can imagine that dust went was to make planets. So that's what you can do in the infrared. You can begin to find nearby stars that have these glowing disks around them. And that's what this mission. This is a telescope which is designed to look at new stars in nearby stars, to look for those which have disks around them. Be launched in December of 01. Now, what you really want to find, of course, are planets. That takes a different kind of system to find planets. You would like to have a telescope with a mirror 30 meters, 100 meters, or a kilometer across. Why not really make it big? Well, here are the two Keck telescopes in Hawaii. And there are two of them. You might say, why do you build two telescopes right next to each other like that? These are the two largest two in the world. They each have 10-meter mirrors inside. And they're about 85 meters apart. And we are in the process of designing a system which will bring the light from this telescope underground and the light from this telescope underground and combine the light together in such a way that these two mirrors will act as though they're just two pieces of a mirror as large as the entire separation of the mirrors. So rather than having a 10-meter telescope, we will have an 85-meter telescope on the ground. That we will have in place by about 01. Now, ultimately, we need to get out into space, though, get away from the complications of the atmosphere, and that's what is called the Space Interferometry Mission. This is a mission where we start out with not with 85 meters. That's a bit of a stretch to begin with for space. We're going to start with just 10 meters. But instead of having a single piece of glass 10 meters across, since we don't know how to launch anything that big into space with optical precision, we're going to have a series of smaller mirrors separated by 10 meters using exactly the same approach. Now, the challenge we have, just to give you some sense of it, is that you put these mirrors 10 meters apart, but you have to maintain their location relative to each other to 25 billionths of a meter. That's the challenge. And you have to do that even though there's sunlight heating it, causing it to distort. That's the challenge we have. Another approach we're looking at is, why connect them at all? Why not just let them fly in formation and measure and control their separation to 25 billionths of a meter? That's maybe another approach that will work, and we're going to try that as well. The advantage of this approach, obviously, is that if you can maintain these things 30 meters apart, you might think of maintaining them 100 or 1,000 meters apart. And eventually you could get to the point where you could simulate a telescope whose mirror was a kilometer across and give you the visual acuity of that. Now, this is something radio astronomers have been doing for decades. It's just that radio astronomy uses wavelengths like this rather than wavelengths that you can't even measure, which is the challenge we have in optical and infrared interferometry. This is all, of course, extending the view beyond the solar system, but if we can get to the point where we can image Earth-like planets around nearby stars, we can analyze the light coming from their atmospheres and see if there's any oxygen there or some of the other chemicals which life is responsible for and would allow us to perhaps find other solar systems where life has evolved. Well, this is, of course, we know there's life at least one place here on Earth. The question really is there life anywhere else? Was there life anywhere else in our solar system, or is there even today life? And ultimately, is there life anywhere else in our galaxy? Those are the challenges, and the interesting thing is that it's not something that may happen in the next 50 or 100 years. It's something that we can actually get some answers to in the next 10 or 15 years. Thank you very much.